Psalms 37, verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Amen. You may be seated. I remember at the age of 14, my mama found me on the side of the house praying. I was crying. My mama found out that I was feeling conviction or feeling the presence of God, and so she took me to a Billy Graham crusade and thought maybe God was trying to speak to me. And at this Billy Graham crusade, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I said the sinner's prayer, and I shook somebody's hand and thought everything would be all right. When I was 15, I bought my first car. I had a paper route, and that made me popular with the wrong crowd. My parents brought me up right, but it wasn't long before I'd done everything wrong. When I was 17, my mother came home. I was supposed to be at school. She was supposed to be at work. She came home and found me dealing some drugs. And so my father, when he came home, he threatened to call the police. He took the spark plug wires out of my car so I couldn't drive it off, and they grounded me forever. Now, that's a long time. And at the age of 14, I didn't even know how to cuss. But by the time I was 17, I cussed my dad out, and I left, and I didn't come back. The last year of high school, I was on my own. I made enough money selling drugs. I bought a little red Fiat, made me more popular with the wrong group. And by the time I was 23, I'd done everything, seen everything, didn't care anymore. And when I came to church, I came to receive something from God. I'd called the 700 Club asking for prayer. My girlfriend at the time, I was asking prayer for a girlfriend. My girlfriend's husband had just gotten out of jail. He had shot a man. He was supposed to be in jail for 8 years, and they let him out after 2 years. I can't believe that. But she just didn't think I was strong enough to handle the situation, and so she had left me, and I called the 700 Club asking for prayer for her, and they told me about an experience in the book of Acts about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I started looking. I said, "God, if this is real, I want it." I'd already been to a psychiatrist talking about suicide. And so when I came to a Pentecostal church, I came to get something from God. And so I remember the first time I came. I don't know what they preached. Don't remember. I came to receive something from God. And so I was standing in line, and they were praying for people. And I was next in line to get prayed for. There was a little lady. She was about 4'11", about 60 years old. And they started praying for her. And she started talking in a man's voice and cursing God and quoting scripture. And she was just full of a devil. And so they understood that we got a hot one here. So they were trying to move her off the side to pray for her. And in the midst of doing that, she flipped two of these great big ushers, just flipped them over. I don't know what happened next, because I was running out the back of the church. That was enough for me the first time. But I came back. They told me if I repented of my sins. See, I came to get something from God. I came to give him my sins. And so I repented of my sins. I lifted up my hands and I began to speak in tongues. It was just a few words. I never spoke before. And I remember that night going home, the devil telling me I didn't get nothing. And so I started talking to God again. And I had no Pentecostal background. Didn't know nothing about this. And I started talking again. God again. And I said, "God, if it's real, can I do it again?" And it just seemed like every time I went in my bedroom, I'd start speaking in tongues for hours. God just poured it on me. Now, my job at that time, it was 3 months later after I had the Holy Ghost, my job, my boss had talked to me. I had to work on Sunday nights. And so the club that I worked at, I went to the end of the bar. My boss just talked to me. I'd been talking to people about the Holy Ghost and how God had delivered me. And it just wasn't working on my job. And so I went to the end of the club where I worked at the end of the bar, and I began to pray and speak in tongues and ask God to give me direction. And God talked to me and told me I need to quit that bartending job. I had been a mainliner, had a bad cocaine problem, and God had delivered me. And I was just thankful to come to church. Long after that, God led me to a United Pentecostal church. See, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you in all truths. And I found out about Jesus' name baptism and had all my sins. Looking for your baptistry. Oh, it's behind the wall. And so I found out what was behind the wall. Amen. God delivered me. Thank you, Jesus. I hadn't been in church that long, and I was thankful. The Pentecostal church that I was going to had about 600 people, and they just looked like angels. Everybody, the way they dressed, and just wonderful people. But I was a little confused. When they got excited, they kind of hang from the chandeliers and walked the back of the pews, and they ran and they danced in church. See, when I came into church, God had delivered me from all that. I was a disco king. I worked in a club, and I won third place in a dance contest one time. That was my life, and I gave it up to God, and now they're doing it in the church. I didn't understand all that, and God would begin to speak to me, and I gave it the bartending job. I got a job on a workover rig. It was hard work. I worked at night, 12-hour shifts, and I remember on a Thursday, God spoke to me and told me not to go to bed, and he directed me to go to a chapel service in a school. It was the Irvington Christian Academy. At that time, my wife was just a teenager. She was one of the students in that school. Now, not always our chapel service real spiritual. Not always are our kids in tune. Maybe y'all's are, but okay. But God directed me, and I remember they had a fellowship hall, and they were having the chapel service Thursday school. They had time for chapel service, and I was looking through some little blinds in the kitchen. They had these little wood slat blinds, and I was sneaking a look through and watching it, and what I saw was just outrageous. It was wild. These kids were shouting so hard, they were knocking chairs down. I remember there was one young lady named Ellen Gage receiving the Holy Ghost. Right after she started speaking in tongues, she started laughing in the spirit. It was like a knockout, drag-out brawl. I mean, the place was a wreck after it. 9 kids received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that service. And so I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, God, if you can move in the midst of that type of worship, then I need to learn how to worship you. And I remember going upstairs in a Sunday school classroom, me and God. See, God just followed me up there because he was already downstairs. And I went up in that classroom, and I decided to worship God the first time. There wasn't an organ playing or a piano playing. There wasn't drums playing. There was nobody watching. I just began to worship the Lord. Amen. With all my might and all my heart. And you know what? God came in the midst of my worship, and he made a covenant with me. He began to intertwine. See, in the Old Testament, if you look, there's a ceremony when they're giving their sacrifice for God, and it's a ceremony where they take off their coat. One takes off their coat and gives it to the other, and the other takes off. It's a covenant that's made. It means everything that I have, I give to you, and everything you have, you give to me, and you take your sword off, and you give it to the other, and that means that I fight your battles, and you fight my battles, and that's what God did with me. He made a covenant with me. In the sacrifice that they make then, they had different animals they sacrificed. They put it in a figure eight, and the Bible says that a light like a fire would go through and make a figure eight between that. That's what God did with me. He made a covenant with me, and he intertwined himself in my life. And now, when every time, every day, I'm telling you something that happened 30 years ago, and God is still walking with me. And when I get too far out of the way, he has intertwined himself in my life. And he brings me back. When I get backslidden in my heart, amen, he's right there. See, my part of the covenant is I had to be in the house of God every time the doors were open. Prayer meetings, Bible studies, amen. And as long as I made my part, God has kept his part. And you know what? The biggest part of that blessing is that my children are saved. My children are living for God. My children are in the ministry, amen. God came in because... Amen. Because I gave spontaneously one time in a service. Amen. Just gave myself, and God has kept me for 30 years. You know, the church that I went to, there were 600 people, and there was probably about 70 single girls. There was big ones, small ones, old ones, young ones, just all kinds of these single girls. And my desire was to get married. And I didn't want a mess. I've been out in the world. I knew what a mess was. I wanted the right one. And so I was new to Pentecost, didn't really know exactly what to do. I thought you just take a scripture and you claim it. It said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. My desire, I knew what it was. And so to delight in thyself, now that's different than putting the Lord first. To delight thyself means you enjoy it. Amen. You come to every service and you enjoy coming to every service. Amen. Amen. When I came in the church, there was an old lady, she was about 85 years old, and she would walk on this little walker into church. Amen. And she would sit, and she had a little pillow that she sat on. They kept in the pew because her bones were frail, and that's just what happened. Well, when the presence of God began to move, and she began to feel the presence of God, somehow she was able to dance all the way up and all the way back. Well, let me tell you something. I just got in the church. I hadn't been in the church that long, but I wasn't going to let Sister Sword out worship me. And so if she was going to come out there, then I'm going to come out there and shout with her. Amen. Delight thyself in the Lord. Amen. I was excited about it. Amen. And so I put the Lord first. Some called me a Jesus freak. I remember the young men were coming to pray up this way, and the young ladies were coming to pray up this way, and the Lord spoke out and pointed out this young lady here. She was 17 at the time, and pointed her out and said, "That's going to be your wife." Now, I was a little disappointed. I knew she was 17, and I was 23, fixing to turn 24, and I thought God had missed it, so I took her older sister out. But you know, when God tells you, when God speaks to you and tells you something, it will come to pass. Amen. Me and her sister didn't get along. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, I quit the bartending, got this job. It was hard work. I was on my way to a camp meeting. First time to be in a camp meeting. I was so excited to be with all these Pentecostals, and it was going to be Texas camp meeting. And before I went down there, they had a special offering for bus ministry. They were buying a new bus. And so I gave my tithing, and I just went ahead and gave the rest of my check to the church. Then I went on this camp meeting. While I was on the way to camp meeting, or just got to the camp meeting, it's a 4-hour drive from Houston to go out there. And just as I was driving at the camp meeting, God spoke to me. He said, "Go back to Houston and apply for this job." Well, on the way back, my Gremlin X transmission went out, and I had to leave it on the side of the road. And I made it to the place, and I filled out my application. There were three people in front of me. I'm the fourth person in line. And the first person, they turned in their application. They said, "Oh, sorry, there's no openings." The second person turned it in. They said, "Sorry, there's no openings." And then, you know, the devil's talking to me, saying, "You came all this way. Your car is way 100 miles away on the side of the road for nothing." The third person, no openings. I came up there, turned my application in. I never met that lady, seen that lady in my life. I turned my application in. She said, "We just got an opening in." She hadn't talked to nobody, seen nobody. When they interviewed me, they took me an interview right then. When they interviewed me, they asked me how I found out about the job. I said, "Jesus sent me," and they still hired me. I made $3.75 an hour. That was the minimum wage working on that workover rig. And I made twice that much when they started me on this job. I was there for 11 years. I bought new houses, new cars, a new Cadillac 1 year off of that job. I went to Israel, China, Africa. Maybe that's why I'm the foreign missions field, because God blessed me with a job that I was able to be a provider. I was able to get married. Amen. Because I gave in a one-time offering spontaneously. Amen. I'm not advocating giving once. I'm advocating trusting God. Amen. When I first got in the church, I was a little different. The first time I came to church, there's some older ones here, but the first time I came to church, I wore my best shoes. They were patent leather, brown and white patent leather platform heels. I'm kind of small, so that made me taller. I had a white denim suit outlined with brown leather. I only wore silk shirts that you buy at Foley's. They were called Nick Nick shirts. Back then, they cost $40 a piece. And well, I bought them from the back door. But anyway, you know, that's the way I came, and I was kind of scary looking. You know, drugs take a toll on your life. I had been a mainliner for so long. I only weighed about 120 pounds and had some nerve problems, and you could tell I still have some problems getting everything together, but God still uses me. And so when I first told them that I had a call to ministry, they said, "That's real good, Brother Long. We're proud of you." Amen. They didn't let me preach there. I didn't preach in that church for 10 years. But you know what? It didn't stop me from knocking doors. It didn't stop me from doing Bible studies and getting involved in Sunday school classrooms and getting involved with youth and just getting involved with prison ministry and going to nursing home. I remember they gave me Wallyville Nursing Home. Wallyville Nursing Home is where they pushed the worst patients in all of Houston into Wallyville Nursing Home. It's hard to be nervous. You know, you go up your first time to preach and you go up there and there's puddles around on the floor. I remember asking, how many of you want to go to heaven? And they all raised their hand. And then I said, how many want to go to hell? And they all raised their hands. Amen. You want to start out preaching, volunteer for a nursing home. But we saw God take a lady that had skin cancer, literally had no skin on her face, and we prayed for her, and God gave her baby skin. Another lady from that nursing home had been there for 5 years in a wheelchair. God healed her. She got her own apartment. She was about 78 years old, got her own apartment, and she came back to our services, and she would play the piano, and she would dance and sing while she played the piano, 78 years old. Amen. Man, I won to the Lord preach before I ever preached in that church. I started working bus ministry, and they, you know, when you're working with poor people, they move a lot. And one of the families that caught our heart had moved off in another area, and I found out where they lived, and I went and took my station wagon, picked them up. And after a few months, I was making 3 trips in my station wagon, bringing people from that area, and they gave me my bus route. Now, we bused about 500 kids. We bused so many black people that they made us go start another church. It made the white folk nervous. And now the black church is bigger than the white church. But we went out, and after they gave me my first bus route. Now, I got bus number 13. It was an old school bus. And because I'm the newest bus driver, I got the oldest bus. Bus 13 had a big metal plate that they sat on the ground, sat on right in front of the driver's seat, right there by the gas pedal. The big metal plate was covering the big hole in the bus, rusted out hole. I remember I like to have fun, and we get close to a railroad track, and I could bang on that plate, and it would shake the whole bus, and I would yell out, the brakes are out, the brakes are out, and all the kids would scream. We just had a good time coming to church. Amen. One of the young men I won, Brother Michael Harris, he was from a horrible home life situation. Young black man, he went into his high school. He was so excited about the gospel. He went into his high school. He got kicked out 7 times in high school for bringing Bibles and doing antics. What he would do, he would get on the table in the lunchroom. He would stand on the table and preach. You know, 17 young people got the Holy Ghost at that school. We would take all these young people, young teenagers, and we would go out and visit and knock doors. We would go from 7 o'clock in the morning and pray for an hour, and then we would get these 2-cent bubble gum and pass it out. One time, we got put a set of bars. I'm looking at the time. One time we put a set of bars on the back of a pickup truck, made like a cage, and we put a man in a gorilla suit. And he would shake the bars. We went into the projects, and he would shake the bars, and the kids would yell, and the gate in the back, he would open up the fence, or the gate to the bars, and the kids would all yell, and a man came out with a rifle, was going to shoot that gorilla because he was getting out, and he had to take his head off to show that he wasn't real. Had a wonderful time. One by one, these young people began to grow up. After my bus route had 5 years, I had already belonged to the 100 Club. That means I was making several trips in a bus, bringing 100 kids to church. And one by one, they started graduating from high school and going to college and getting married. And after a while, I didn't have anybody helping me. My job changed the hours, and I had to work on Saturdays. And they came to me one week and said, Brother Long, we're going to have to close down your bus route. You're having less than 20 people. It's just economically unfeasible for us to run your bus anymore. I was devastated. That was my ministry. God had given me that ministry. And 5 years, we had a good run. And I remember in a Thursday night Bible study, I just couldn't keep my composure. I walked out, went into the fellowship hall, laid down on the ground, and I gave my ministry to God. I said, here's my bus route, God. I did the best that I could, and I gave it back to God. The next week, a young man named, black man named Jeff Wendell said, "Brother Long, can I help you on my bus route?" And my job changed my hours again. In the next 3 months, I had 27 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost off my bus route. See, I gave it to God. I gave it to God. That was my ministry, and I gave it back to God. If you're hearing me, one time I gave an offering, God bless me. One time I gave in worship, and God has kept His hand upon me. One time I came and I gave God my sins, and God took them from me. One time, amen, I gave myself to God, and now I gave my ministry to God, and God has multiplied it. It was 10 years before I ever preached, but now God is sending us to islands, and we're starting churches in places that nobody has ever been. Amen. God has allowed me. Amen. It took 10 years before I ever preached. It was almost 20 years before I ever went on the mission field. Before I went to Africa the first time, I had a prayer. I had a desire. It said, put the Lord first or delight thyself in the Lord. I was fixing to go to Africa, and I was at a service, and there was an evangelist that prophesied over me. He said, "Brother Long, God is going to answer your prayer. You have a prayer." He thought maybe he was talking about my finances, but I knew what I was praying for. He said, "Before you go to Africa, God's going to answer your prayer." I was praying that my mama would get the Holy Ghost. Now, my mama was glad I was in Pentecost because she was tired of getting me out of jail. Now, I wasn't that bad of a guy. The worst thing I ever did was rob a drugstore, maybe the time I assaulted a police officer. And so my mama was thankful for the changes, but she didn't like all this that happened in Pentecost. Now, being a good Pentecost, I got my mama to come at least twice a year to see grandkids sing in specials. Y'all know what I'm talking about, some of y'all that have. My mama would always sit on the very last row in the back. Amen. She didn't want none of this. My mama was a good woman. She didn't drink or smoke, and she was faithful to her church. I remember seeing her one time sitting in the back. She was hanging on the back of the pew. Her knuckles were white. She was holding on so strong. She felt the pull of this altar, but she didn't want none of this stuff. Amen. Before we went to Africa, there was a church, a large church. It was running about 250 people, asked me to preach. I have 17 members of my family live around that church, and I thought, this is the chance. My mama can get the Holy Ghost. Now, most of my family are alcoholics and just kind of a rough group, but this is the chance. My mama can get the Holy Ghost. Well, 2 days before I scheduled a preach on a Friday, the secretary of the church called me and said, "Brother Long, we made a scheduling error. We've got an evangelist coming that night. You're not going to be able to preach." And so I hurriedly called all my family, because if I had them come to church and I didn't preach, they'd say, "You tricked me," and they would have been mad at me. So I called them all back. They said, "Brother Long, go ahead and come. You can testify." And so that Sunday I came. None of my family came but my mom and dad, and they sat on the very last row. When I got in the vestibule, the pastor again forgot he had evangelists coming. He said, "Brother Long, you take your liberty. You just preach the word of God." And when the evangelist came in, it was the same one that prophesied on me. I didn't know the arrangement of that. And he was downcast because he knew he wasn't preaching the night. And so when I got in that pulpit, after 20 years, my mama had been to a Pentecostal church 40 times, twice a year. So I got up and I didn't preach. I pointed at my mama and said, "Mama, you're going to get the Holy Ghost tonight." Well, my mama don't like attention, and she was kind of upset. My dad did kind of stumble up to the altar and pray a little bit. My mama walked out of the back of the church, but something touched her, because she went in the bathroom, she took her jewelry off, she didn't come up to the altar, she came back to her seat. But after a few minutes, my mom began to speak in tongues. And then after she spoke in tongues, she began to sing in tongues. If my mama was here today, she used to say, "All this ain't necessary." But if she was in this house today, my mama would walk in those pews, and as soon as she'd hit those doors back there, she starts shaking under the power of God, and she would be speaking in tongues and singing in tongues the whole service. Amen. Let's everybody stand. Amen. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Amen. I don't know where you're at, but I believe somebody wants to step out in faith. I don't know what you've been praying for. I don't know where your family is. I don't know how your house is. I didn't know nothing about Pentecost. But if God can drag me out of the gutters, amen, and bring me to the house of God and fill me full, amen, and then make a covenant with me, amen. God put a calling on my life and he made a covenant with me. I didn't know what was going to happen. They told me I couldn't preach. They told me I'd never preach. They told me I wasn't called to preach. But my calling came from a mighty God, and he allowed me to knock a door. He allowed me to tell somebody about Jesus. He allowed me to witness. He allowed me to go to prisons. He allowed me. He opened the door. Amen. And every time a door opened, I'd walk through it. Oh, it might have just been a small opening, but God allowed me to do his will. Amen. And now my mama's full of the Holy Ghost. And 5 years later, my dad came to the church. Amen. And lifted up his hands. A black woman. See, my dad was brought up prejudiced. Amen. And a black woman asked him to come to an altar. Amen. And that's what it had to take. And my dad came down and repented of his ways. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was 80 years old. A mean old man. But now my mom and my dad are going to meet me in glory because I delighted myself in the Lord. I put the Lord first in my finances, in my worship, in my walk, in my ministry. Amen. Does somebody want to step out? Does somebody want to believe God? I don't know how long you prayed. I prayed 20 years for my mama and 25 years for my daddy. Amen. But they're filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, pick that prayer back up. Amen. You might have thought that it wouldn't happen. I never thought my dad would get the Holy Ghost. Amen. But God gave me the desires of my heart because I put him first. I loved him with my finances. I loved him with my worship. I loved him with my heart. Amen. What can you give to God today? Hallelujah. What can you give to God today? You can't outgive him. You can't outgive him. If you need a baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm asking that you come up here in front. If you're seeking God to touch you and to take your sins away, I'm asking that you would come down here in the front here. Amen. So those that know how to pray in the altars can pray with you.